9, beginning in verse 57, the Word of God says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him," to Jesus, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having his hand set to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray." Say, pray. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Let us pray. Father, I pray that in the course of this message, your instruction for your servants to pray is made evident. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you see in those scripture verses that the Lord Jesus sent praying people to prepare a way for him prior to his arrival in that city? Praying people. Now, you may remember last week's message ended by focusing on the cost of our commitment. The cost of our commitment by pulling on the rope of hope. Pulling on the rope of hope. We all need to be pull so that the house will be full. Y'all were listening, praise God. All right. That's right. We all must pull for the house to be full. And part of the cost of commitment is for you and I, as God's servants, as God's people, to pray. To pray for our neighborhood, which will in turn be used for God, which will in turn welcome the Lord of the harvest. Now, I'm praying first and foremost to see every single one of you next Saturday around 8 o'clock. And I'm praying that you're going to be willing and desiring to participate in our first annual prayer drive. I mentioned it this morning, what our first annual prayer drive is all about. We are literally going to be driving in different zones, and we're going to be praying over every home in our corner of the county. Why? Because Jesus told us to go and pray before he shows up. Amen? To go and pray. Who here will help us prepare the way? Who will help us prepare the way for our Easter harvest by going forward first to pray? I'd like to give you three principles of prayer that might help you to commit to this prayer drive event. First of all, the purpose. The purpose of prayer, praying with insight. It's interesting to me that in Luke chapter 9, the chapter preceding this, that Jesus had called his 12 disciples. He called them together, gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. But then we find here that in chapter 10, after all these things, the Lord appointed about 70 others also, sent them into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Let me get this right. Jesus called and then sent 12 preachers to go preach the kingdom of God. But then after he did that, he also appointed and sent 70 church folk to go forward into those cities and every place to pray. To pray and prepare the way for Jesus' visit to that place. Jesus was entrusting the growth of his kingdom, not only to preachers, but to ordinary believers too. What was their mission? It's really very simple. To go and to pray. To get out there and go, and when you get there, to pray. They were to go and pray that the Lord of the harvest would send even more disciples their way. They were to go and pray and send that God might send more laborers their way. Why? Because Jesus saw that the need was great. Jesus wanted these 70. He wanted these 70 ordinary believers to see people like he saw people. For Jesus saw people who were broken, people who were lonely, people who were empty, people who were lost with no hope, people who were in bondage to addictions. Jesus saw all this, and he wanted this 70 to see it too. The 70 were to go and raise awareness to the people that Jesus was coming. The cure for your problems is coming. That's our purpose. To go on site and pray with insight. Now, I read back in 1991 that the Gulf War ended quickly, primarily after or just before the ground forces marched on Iraq. Now, one of the reasons for their success was the previous strategic bombing of the enemy strongholds by the United Nations Air Forces. You see, the use of air power was used in preparation for the ground attack. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Word of God tells you and I that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are mighty in God for tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. Mighty in God. Friends, our prayer drive will basically spiritually bombard the satanic strongholds in individuals, in families, in our neighborhoods, and prepare the way for the gospel to be shared and the invitation to come to them for our Easter services. You know what we call that kind of preemptive strike? We call it praying on site with insight. Say that with me. Praying on site. Amen. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Well, we got to go on site and pray with insight. We got to be aware of where we're going. We got to be aware of what area we're covering. What do you see along your journey to pray for these folks? Do you recognize the home whom you're praying for? You very likely might. And if that's the case, then you ought to be praying that God will fill their greatest need. You ought to be praying that they might be saved. You might need to pray that they get the job they're looking for. You might need to pray that they have good health. You might need to be praying that they have freedom from the bondage of those sins, freedom from the bondage of those addictions. Do you see a children's swing set in the yard? If you do, pray for that child. Pray for those children. Pray for those parents. Pray for those grandparents. Pray for those families to be more unified. Do you see a light post? Well, pray that the Lord would convict their hearts, that they would see the light. That they would see the light of Christ. Maybe that you might be that light to share the gospel good news with them. We got to be praying on sight with insight. But we also need to be praying on sight intentionally. Intentionally. You know, we always ought to be praying. We always ought to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit leads us to pray for our neighborhood. But on March the 20th, next Saturday, we're going to be joining forces with tens of thousands of other Alabamians that are doing the same thing we're doing. Intentionally praying for those who desperately need a close relationship with Christ. We're joining forces and we're going to be praying intentionally. We're going to be praying specifically for those who are in our community who need to hear the gospel good news. The good news that Jesus came, offered the gift of grace and forgiveness to anyone who would accept the gift. We're going to be praying on site intentionally. But we're also going to be going on site and praying with the heart of an intercessor. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. What is a person who doesn't have the Lord Jesus? What is a person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit within them? What do? They don't have anybody to stand in the gap. That's what an intercessor is. Someone who stands in the gap. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Stands in between us and our Heavenly Father to take those prayers into the throne room and make those prayers according to God's will. But what's our part about being an intercessor? Well, the gap we got to stand in is perhaps the gap between a person and God. Maybe they've never heard the name of Jesus. Maybe they didn't even know they needed to be saved. It's up to you to stand in that gap. What about the gap between a person and his need for God to do something mighty in his life? I guarantee you that every single home that we'll visit has got needs. Desperate needs that people can't do nothing about. Only God can do something about. Will you intercede for that family? Will you intercede for that home? And ask God to bless them with their greatest need. We got to be praying on sight with the heart of an intercessor. Friends, the purpose of our prayer drive is to pray with insight, to look for opportunities to pray specifically for someone's eternal soul. To pray specifically for the needs of our people. We need to make these people our people. Amen? These are our people. And we ought to treat them as such. But now the second principle of prayer is power. Because in and of ourselves, we ain't got none. Amen? But we have power by praying with inspiration. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the word says, Jesus told his laborers, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria, even to the end of the earth. Now I read another translation that put it this way. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power to tell people everywhere about my death and resurrection. Boy, I like that. So let me get this right. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians that the Christian is the temple, is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, who is in us, whom we have from God, and we're not our own. You don't belong to you. Amen. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. And he reminds us that you are purchased at a price. You are bought at a price, therefore you ought to be glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. If you are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, and Acts 1:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You shall receive power. If that's the case, Can we say that the Holy Spirit has come upon us? Can we say that we're even saved? Can we say that Jesus has redeemed us and the Spirit of the living God indwells us? and yet not have the power? If the Spirit's in you, you got the power. If the Spirit's in you, then you shall be His witnesses. Are you? Do you have the power? So many times we do have the power, but we do a real good job of quenching the Spirit. We do a really good job of perhaps grieving the Spirit within us, not doing, as the Word says, what we ought to be doing. When Jesus appointed and sent these 70 ordinary church folk to every city and every place that He would visit, He sent them with the authority to pray. He sent them with the power to influence people. He sent them with the ability to make more disciples. He sent them with the clout to pray directly to the Lord of the harvest. And He sent them with the strength to face whatever came their way. Jesus will empower those whom He sends. You believe that? Jesus will empower those whom He sends. Can I tell you, He sends you. The power of this whole prayer drive event comes by praying with inspiration, trusting that the Holy Spirit of God, He will show us the who. He'll show us the what, and He'll show us the where we ought to be praying. Now, your third principle of prayer is participation. Praying for the impossible. Praying for the humanly impossible. See, we're praying for a move of God, not a move of Brother Bill, amen? We're praying for a move of God, not a move of Bethel Baptist Church, amen? A move of God right here in our neighborhood. Jesus told the 70, go. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. You see, their purpose was clear. Their power was established. All that was left for them to do was go. Go do what they had been instructed to do. But the Lord Jesus did say, you know what? You're going to have to be careful out there. You're going to have to be careful because I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. You will surely meet with opposition. Can I tell you that we too were sent as lambs among wolves? But our opposition is not the same as the opposition of the 70. You see, our greatest opposition is self. Our greatest opposition is self. Our greatest opposition is getting up and doing the going on early Saturday morning. Many of you will overcome your opposition. Some of you will not. But I want to tell you who missed this opportunity, I want to give you a little glimpse about what you might be missing if you don't participate. You see, Jesus scheduled a time when these 70 prayer drivers would come back and they'd regather and they would report on their journey. And when they came back, they weren't all wore out. When the 70 returned, they weren't exhausted. When the 70 came back, they weren't disillusioned or discouraged or disappointed. No. Look in verse 17. Then the 70 returned with, say it with me, joy. Not exhausted, not disappointed or discouraged, but returned with joy. They returned with the joy of surprise. Listen to this. And I'm going to try to put some inflection in this verse that will help you to understand it. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The joy of surprise. They were joyfully surprised that their prayers were being answered in His name. But they also returned and received the joy of their salvation.
For Jesus reminded them there in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Rejoice in your salvations. Friends, demons know you. Oh, they know you. But more importantly, God knows you. Amen. And He knows what you're doing, and He knows why you're doing it. But these also returned and received just a taste of the joy of our Savior. Look in verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to these babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." You know what? Nowhere in the Bible will you see Jesus any more joyful than you see Him right here. Nowhere is He rejoicing more than He is when these 70 prayer drivers returned. They returned and they made Jesus happy. You know, that in and of itself should give us all the reason we need to go do some prayer driving of our own. Just to make Jesus happy. You know, our joy will be very similar to the joy that these 70 experienced. On April the 4th, we're going to celebrate Easter. And we're going to praise God for the glorious resurrection of His only begotten Son. And we're going to see firsthand the purpose, the power, and the participation in prayer of what it can do in a life of a community like ours. You're going to see it firsthand, because you're going to see the fruit. You're going to see the results of your prayers. Because our prayer is they're going to be right here. Our prayer is that they're going to be gloriously saved. That they would place all their faith and all their trust in the Son of God who died for them. We're going to see the joy of answered prayer. We're going to see more Jesus in the lives of our neighborhood. More Jesus in the lives of these families and in these individuals. We're going to experience the joy of being known by God. There is no greater privilege on this earth than the privilege of being used by your Creator. No greater privilege. We're going to become one with Him, and we're going to partner with other believers to pray for the lost. To pray for the people that have no hope. To pray for the people that don't have the hope of heaven like you do. But we're also experiencing the joy of causing Jesus to rejoice. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make Jesus smile. Everybody give me a smile. We're going to make Jesus smile. Jesus sent praying people to prepare the way prior to His visit. Our prayers for this community can also be used by God to prepare the way to welcome Jesus' arrival. Who will prepare the way? Who will prepare the way for Christ by being part of this prayer drive before Jesus even gets here? In 1998, Dr. Randy Bird, who is employed by the American Heart Association, conducted a study. Now, you need to understand that Dr. Bird ain't a Christian, that the American Heart Association is not a Christian organization, and the study he was doing wasn't a Christian study. But the main question of that study was this: does prayer have any impact on a patient's healing? The study considered 393 coronary care patients from Duke University Hospital. And without these patients knowing it, there were some other people who were asked to pray for their healing and for their recovery. The people that were praying were given the names of the patients, their diagnosis, and were asked to pray. But it was only 93 of the 393 that were prayed for. Now, Dr. Bird compared the outcome of each group, and he found that those patients who had been prayed for...
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
Appears we have an email from God. To the children. From our Heavenly Father. Subject, prayer drive project. Dear children, this prayer drive in your area is a critical counteroffensive in the war the enemy is waging on your community. I am inviting you to be a part of this project. See you soon, Yahweh. Now, there are any number of ways that we could respond to that. Here's one way you can respond. To the King of Heaven from the kids. Subject, prayer drive project. While sitting in Bethel Baptist Church on March the 14th, 2006, I received a very pressing invitation to commit to participate in a prayer drive project on March the 20th. I pray that you would excuse me from this invitation. Sorry, I'm just too busy. I pray you ain't got the courage to send back a reply like that. But maybe you'll reply like this. To the King of Heaven from the kids. Subject, prayer drive project. While sitting in Bethel Baptist Church on March the 14th, 2006, I received a very pressing invitation to commit to participate in a prayer drive on March the 20th. By the grace of God, I will be part of this prayer drive project. Thank you for inviting me. Now that's more like it, amen? Will you send a reply like that? I pray that you'll be wise this morning and that you will indeed reply to God's invitation in this way. Now you remember Dr. Bird's study? I'd like to share the results with you. The prayer warriors, they didn't even know the people they were praying for. They just prayed. And the patients didn't have a clue that they were being prayed for. Does it surprise you that those who were prayed for did better than those who were not prayed for? Prayer makes a difference. Duh. Right? Anybody got a testimony about that? Amen, 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 amen. Amen, yes ma'am. Prayer makes a difference. And prayer will make a difference in our community too. Who will prepare the way for Christ by being a part of this prayer drive project. I'm told that the true test of your relationship with God ain't what you say. It's not that you say you're a Christian. It's not that you say you're a member at Bethel Baptist Church. It's not that you say you've been baptized. No, the true test of your relationship with God is not what you say. Rather, what you allow Him to do through you. That's the true test of your relationship with God. Maybe it goes like this. You know, God heard my prayers for that family. And now they have a relationship with God and they're a part of our church family. Maybe it goes like this. You know, I was so nervous. But God spoke through me as I told this man, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he gave his life to Jesus. Maybe it goes like this. I didn't feel like I had much to offer. But the truth of the matter is that God heard my prayers. And he did a mighty work in the life of that little child. Who will be a part Who will go forth and pray and prepare the way for the Savior to come into the lives of these?
Here I am, Lord. I don't want to walk by myself and pack on a burden I'm not required to carry. I want to do this in your power, your strength. Because honestly, I love you. So I'm asking, how do I do this? How do I overcome my fears and reach out to my neighbor? How do I evangelize in my sphere of influence? I'm willing. I mean, if Tom needs a truck to move, he can use mine. If Cheryl's patio is falling down, I've got to look cool. I'll build her a new one. I'll spring for the lumber. Or if Jack still wants to visit Aunt Betty in North Dakota, I'll buy him a ticket. I want to love you, and not just with words, but action. You say you've come to seek and to save the lost, to give them life and life to the full. And I've tasted that, so I pray for your life to be part of their life. And I pray that I could play a part of giving that, this neighborhood, this community. It's my mission field, right? But I don't know where else to begin, so I'm praying here. I want to serve you with my entire life. So here I am, Lord. Send me.
After I pray, Brother Howe is going to be singing a song of invitation. And during this decision time, if the Lord has spoke to your heart, trying to just nudge you to having a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, I pray that you would come forward and allow me to show you what the Word of God says about how that relationship can become a reality. Whatever your decision is today, I would cherish the privilege of praying with you about that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you are a great and glorious God, and your servants here are indeed motivated by love. Motivated to serve you, and Lord, we just have got to trust you to provide the power, to provide the strength, and provide the desire. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ here at Bethel Baptist Church. I thank you for these beloved saints of God. Lord, I ask you now that if there's one here that doesn't have a relationship with you, that they wouldn't hesitate a second, that they would stand up, stand forward, come forward, and allow me to show them in the Word how to have a relationship with their Maker. Father, thank you for allowing us to worship you today. Thank you for the blessings of being your child. Lord, as we go forward to prayer drive our neighborhood next Saturday, I pray that we'd have the same turnout that we did for our work day yesterday. Lord, we're prepared. And Lord, we're ready. Would you send us? In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
You can stand.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your hand, for love is passing by. And come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. And sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and life on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Father, thank you for sending your Jesus. Thank you that when we fall, you're swift to help us up. Father, thank you. Despite our frailty, broken hearts, our mistakes and our sin, Lord, that you are always there. Indeed, our Father. We just want to declare our love for you today. Lord, I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask you to bless them with that only God in heaven can give. Supernatural strength, that supernatural courage, and that supernatural desire to serve you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. We pray you're honored as we do that. And we ask you now, in the name of Jesus, to bless the rest of our days and bless our worship service this evening as we continue to honor you in the name of your beloved and Holy Son, that name that's above all names, Jesus. And all God's people say,